Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.
From Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, this is What's Next, an hour dedicated to amplifying the voices of marginalized and underrepresented communities across Western New York and Southern Ontario.
We cannot erase, we cannot reform, we cannot make things better if we're uncomfortable having tough conversations,
Absolutely.
If we're uncomfortable
Absolutely.
Talking about race.
What's Next carries forward our mission to engage in meaningful conversations about race, equity, and the shared concerns that deeply affect Buffalo's East Side and beyond.
Don't stop. Make those families part of your life. Their lives are part of yours. Don't stop.
Together, we dive into the real issues, striving for understanding, connection, and change.
In the suburban area, everywhere, we must work and teach our children.
Good morning and welcome to What's Next. I'm Ijaz Jasil, very excited to be here hosting my first episode and also excited to be here with a friend of the show, Associate Professor and Coordinator of Buffalo State University's Africana Studies, Dr. Marcus Watson, and two of his students, both seniors, Jay Phillips, an Africana Studies major, and Jadon Williams, a business major. Thank you all three for being here. How are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Good. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us, yes.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you all so much for being here. So I'm excited to have you all here because you're doing something that is going to be very poignant for not just Buffalo State University, but for the city. We have an event coming up, Black Buffalo Speaks, an Africana Studies event. And I think what's most intriguing and probably the best part of this event is that it was student curated. You all really put this together. And so I want to hear from you first, Jay and Jadon. What was the inspiration behind this? Why do you think that this event is needed right now?
Well, first of all, this event wouldn't have been done without Dr. Watson. We enrolled into the class not really knowing what Blacks in Buffalo would be about. And first day, he was just like, yeah, we're going to be doing a conference. And so we all got into groups. And I think that within the semester, we've been learning about so much about the Buffalo culture and the environment in Buffalo and really what we need to be focusing on. And so throughout the semester, our inspiration was built off of the history of Buffalo and what's Buffalo looking like today. So I think that really the inspiration is to be able to connect the Buffalo State University campus to the greater Buffalo community outside of campus.
Yes. I want to say, piggyback off what Jay said, it's definitely to get Buffalo State students more out into the community, because me being in Buffalo for 4 years, I really didn't know that it was so much culture and history from in Buffalo being a Black man. So from this class, learning so much from different guests coming in, right, and meeting them and just showing like how much culture and history is in Buffalo, from like the NAACP, from even slavery time, like from Canada being a part of it. Like, we just learned so much in class that it's just like, wow, like we're not just going to school here. Like, this is really history that we're part of. And it's like kind of like, I'll save it for later on, but yeah, like, you know.
More of like a push for us to actually do something.
Yeah, more of like a push to go out and go out there and see the world, because I feel like we're just more of a framed and boxed in where we're at. So it definitely was an eye-opener for the city of Buffalo. And
very nice. It's sort of a living history lesson, if you will.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And so to ask you, Dr. Watson, about your Blacks in Buffalo course, I found the name and the concept very interesting, and it is important for reasons, as was just mentioned by the students, to educate those who may not be familiar with the city or who may not even be familiar with Black Buffalo specifically. And I want to get into that. How do you teach Black culture to make it digestible and understandable, but without making it monolithic, as there are so many different layers to Black culture, especially in the city of Buffalo?
Yeah, that's a great question. Somehow our history in the U.S. has developed in a way where a lot of times our individuality as Black folks doesn't get permitted to be expressed. And understandably, on the one hand, because a lot of the trials and tribulations we go through has been not because you're an individual, but because you've been placed in this category called Black, right? And so I think it's not to lose that, you know, sense of group, you know, understanding and identity and so forth. I think that helps in some regard. But we definitely don't want that to be the only highlight. You know, we are as individual as anybody else, any other so-called group. Our expressive individualism that often comes with African-based cultures makes it all that much more, I think, important to highlight that, you know. We might get into this in a little bit, but as you will be able to see from who we have coming on to the conference this coming weekend, we invited leaders from organizations that represent a diverse, you know, kind of interest and missions and so forth. In Africana Studies, we are welcoming of the whole of us, you know, however we may come. You know, we're saying, come on, we love you. You know, you bring some value to what we do, and we appreciate you.
Very nice. And I do want to get into the specific guests that you're bringing in. It seems like there's a very intentional lineup of speakers that you all have. There are some aspects of historical Black culture, modern Black culture, and how they all work together specifically to elevate Black Buffalo. And that's why this is going to be such a big learning experience for the university. Can you get into why you specifically chose who you chose to present and what you're hoping that they'll bring to the community at large?
Do you want to start? Or?
You can start.
Okay. So first, one, I want to say most of these guests that we invited, we did meet them already, and we've sat and listened to them speak in class. We've asked them questions, so we've already engaged in them. So not necessarily like an interview, but we wanted to make sure the guest that we had was perfect for our conference. So we had to do like some research and everything. But I feel like one of the guests that I feel like personally like is gonna be a great fit for it is Carol Horn. We had to learn about her in class, and then she even came to our class and we got to speak to her, and it was just so amazing. Like being a Black individual and meeting somebody of that stature is like, it was just so powerful in the moment, because it's like you hear, you don't really, you see that we have great leaders, but like you never like really see one in person. So it's like for her to be even coming to our conference that a class of 30 what students provided, it's like, it's crazy. So if we can do this from a little Buff State class, imagine what we can really impact the world if we come together as a group.
Yeah, I think that what the community and maybe society is missing right now is that everyone is kind of looking for like, oh, who's going to be the next Martin Luther King and things of that nature. And I think that we have people representing Black history, Black culture, and who are trying to defend our community, who are trying to build up our community. So I think that all of the speakers, they have something to contribute. They have been contributing to the Buffalo history and the community. And I think that a lot of the speakers are really going to inspire those who are coming from outside of the community, those who are coming from campus, and like really just like an inspiration that, okay, like we could actually do this. We can build a better Buffalo. We can build a better community outside of Buffalo. We could take this to the city with us. A lot of our students come from New York City. So how does our speakers, how are they connecting to that type of inspiration?
And I definitely want to piggyback off what Jay said again. It's like, it's not even about like out, like in Buffalo necessarily. It's like showing that you can branch out and go different places and show and fight for what you believe in without necessarily causing like uproar or anything. It's just like, it's now or never, basically, I want to say, with our generation. So I feel like being in this class, it showed a lot of like, we can do it. Like we have the power within ourselves. And I feel like as Blacks, we feel like sometimes we're boxed in, but we're not in a box. Like we just, we're made to think that we're in a box, but we can get anything done the same way any race is. It's just that we have to put our foot in there and make a way, and which we are starting to do, I feel like.
Yeah, we need to do it together. Mm-hmm. I think that that's the biggest component. Like, I feel like society makes us feel like we're by ourselves, and if we fail, that it's our fault. But community is truly everything, and I think that this conference is really going to show, like, the spirit of community and how, you know, really what's next. Like, after the conference, what are we going to be doing after that to build on that community?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
That's a great point. I also love the fact that you both mentioned the fact that we have our leaders here in Buffalo. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times you hear about elevating the Black voice and you think that the only unsung heroes or unheard voices are maybe the residents we don't get to hear from, but even some of the local community leaders, you'd mm-hmm. be surprised at how many people in the city don't know them or their stories. So it's beautiful that we'll get to see some of that this weekend.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So I do want to get into, you know, the fact that there is this event, that there is the Africana Studies program and why it's so important. And I know you, Dr. Watson, have spoken on this in the past on this show. But when you look at Black identity within higher education and you kind of see those parallels within Black identity in society, how is it important is it to maintain these sorts of programs to prevent the erasure, which, you know, a lot of people would think our culture could never be erased. I would like to think that, but it seems, you know, not to get political here, but with some of the things we've been seeing, you know, there's this sort of fear. Mm-hmm. So how do we continue to make our culture a mainstay and continue to teach the future generations about it?
Yeah, it's we can all, I think we can all say something yeah. about it, but
whoever wants to start first.
Yeah, it's scary times, depending on who you are and what your values are and so forth. For other people, they're flying high. I mean, you know, I think the majority of people voted in the current agenda. So, but speaking from my perspective, the thought of erasing Black history from our culture is very scary. I can see how, if it's successfully done, it would leave the majority population just having fun and playing golf and not having anything to worry about and that kind of thing. And if only we all knew the value to all of us that a scholarly department like Africana Studies you know, does bring, then we might get on board. Our slogan, Africana Studies at Buffalo State, is restoring the cosmos through deep African thought. And so when we say cosmos, we mean an interrelated world where all of us are tied together, bound together. Our past, our presence, our futures depend on each other. Not only us as human beings across all different backgrounds, but humanity with the universe, you know, with Mother Nature and all of that. And so when you, if you lose something like Africana Studies, or I would just say African-based cultures generally, and by extension, indigenous cultures around the world generally, I think they share, you know, basic philosophy, you're losing that sense of unity and togetherness among humans. And when you lose that, you get a lot of chaos. What we have, chaos, distrust, lack of love. And I think most of us would want that if we could snap our fingers and have it. But in place of being able to snap your fingers and have it, you have Africana Studies, where our expertise is in what broke the cosmos, what has us all at each other's throats. It doesn't have to be that way. What are our current conditions and how do we get out of it? Right. So Africana Studies is bringing that, and to the extent that you're hearing that and you value that, then definitely support Africana Studies.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you said it best, but Africana Studies is really the truth. And I think that without Africana Studies, I wouldn't be where I'm at today. I wouldn't be a student leader actually trying to go out to the community and bridging those gaps between the community and organizations. Without Africana Studies, we wouldn't have community. We wouldn't have conversations. And I think that a lot of people don't think that conversations are important, but they really are important to have. And the erasure of history, the erasure of the truth, it should never be done. And I think that that really contributes to why we're here today in the society that we're in.
Yes, I would definitely like to say it's very important to have Africana Studies, because it's not only about the history of being Black, but it's also about like our culture and everything that we know. And we've seen people get erased from history. So it's like, it's possible. Like, and I feel like with Africana Studies, because I don't feel like it's not textbook work that we're learning about, we're hearing stories. So stories from people, that's like you can't teach that. So when you're in hearing that and everything, it's like it's continuing and pushing the, it's not, I want to say it's like pushing for a better cause, because it's like you're not finding this in a textbook. You're learning from somebody else's story, and it's just more engaging. And I feel like when you can change textbooks, but you can't erase somebody's story or how they feel and their facial expressions when you're seeing them in person and everything. So I feel like with Africana Studies, we're watching more videos and everything to learn about our culture. It's not necessarily textbook work, and textbooks could easily be manipulated. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so I feel like it's definitely more hands-on and watching our culture.
Yeah, more personal.
Yeah, more personal, definitely.
Very, very well put. Yeah. And I want to get into putting that education into practice. When you look at history, a lot of the great American movements, especially, you know, born and within from the Black community, the civil rights movement, Black Lives Matter, they're forged by our youth, you know, usually yeah. college students,
mm-hmm. yeah.
the likes of you. So how do you balance the sort of pressure? You know, you already have this path that you're forging for your own individual lives, and then you have this need and this desire to elevate your community. What is that like for you?
Yeah. Can I go?
Yeah, you could go. Go ahead.
I'm going to be real. I struggle with the balance, especially because I know how important Africana Studies is, or the knowledge of being within a community and really kind of just fighting the good fight. I really lack balance with it. But with that, I do know that, you know, I'm just supposed to do it, and I don't plan on stopping. And I think that with being a college student, I really wish I could have talked to them back then and how they were able to balance it. And I think that they would have probably answered it the same way. Like, there isn't no balance. We were designed to not have balance. We were designed to be off course. And so really figuring out how to have balance in a world that's designed for me to not have balance at all, regardless if I am fighting the good fight or if I'm just trying to ignore it and trying to, I guess, work within a system, there's always going to be that type of a feeling that something isn't right. So just kind of really just trying to work through it, resist against it, and doing what I can to try to make sure that the next generation, the next people that are coming after me, that the fight is just a little bit easier for them. But yeah.
I would definitely say agree with Jay, what Jay is saying, because it's like, at the end of the day, it's like the fight's always going to be there. At the end of the day, we're Black. So it's always going to be that pushback that we're going to have. So no matter, you can't find a balance, because you can't just focus on going to school, because it's like at the end of the day, you still got to work. Setbacks.
Yeah.
Setbacks for us that's already in motion. It's like no matter how hard we try, it's like, doom, doom, doom. But it's like, it doesn't even matter about that, because like I said earlier, we're not in a box. So keep pushing, and everything that we're doing, it's like she said, for the next generations to be able to come through and like succeed as well. Because I feel like it's necessary. Every past generation, they're not fighting for a cause now, they're fighting for a cause for the next generation. So I feel like if we're pushing and everything, we're keeping it on, we are going to see it. So yeah, that's how I feel.
So that kind of reconceptualizes it. Maybe the idea of finding balance is a false narrative. It's more...
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Finding your footing in an imbalanced world would sort of be the better way to say it.
Yeah.
Right. And maybe even going back to some language we were using earlier, to the extent Africana Studies is giving
the
DNA,
yeah.
the DNA of American culture, you know, that deep truth. It's when you're studying that, it's like that's the balance. It's okay, I'm getting this DNA look at what the nature of American history and society is, what drives it. But I'm in a world, generally speaking, but specifically right now in terms of the politics going on, that is anti-truth. It's actually trying to eliminate that, right? So that's a heck of a balance to try to be struck right there, you know.
Especially when you don't know that you're unbalanced. Like, if you don't know that you're unbalanced and you're walking through the world and you're just like, everything is good. And it's just like, it's not good. And that's why education is so important. That's why, especially in higher ed, like, it should never be an option for Africana Studies to be a thing.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
I feel like it shouldn't be an option, because we learn about American history, like, in school. Black history is more than American history than anything else. So I feel like we shouldn't just be getting dedicated 1 month out of the year to learn about Black people that, of course, made movements in our community and everything. But I feel like it should be taught all year round, because at the end of the day, we're part of the culture as well. Like, what is American culture without Black people? So it's
exactly.
Black history is foundational.
It's the foundation of America. Yeah. So, yes. And then when you look back, it's like, what's American history? Because it's coming from England. Like, what's going on about that? Like, it's like, you're not yourself either. So it's like, it's just like, it's crazy. Like, just history could be changed. And it's like, it's so important to keep a community and stay put together with each other, because it's like, you hear one story, you could relate to it and be like, you know what? Well, it's not just me that's going through that. It's clearly universal.
Yeah.
Probably not universal for another ethnicity, but for ours, it's like, it's universal. So it's like, it's definitely a deeper connection on a level that we don't see.
Mm-hmm. Across the Black diaspora.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very profound too. And I want to get into a slogan that you said you kind of have, that you reiterated a couple of times and you recently introduced when you sat down here not long ago with Nylin J. Restoring the cosmos through deep African thought. Let's talk about African thought and Black culture. How can our history help us solve problems today, especially within Black communities like those that you find in the city of Buffalo?
Well, I think history, if it's told accurately, is like a guidepost, I would say, for understanding how we got to where we are, you know, if I'm understanding the question. So again, if you wipe out that history, or if you're selective about what's taught in that history, or if you don't start at the very beginning, but you start at some other interval, you know, you can have a skewed understanding and interpretation of what's going on now. So that accurate history is critical. But when you have that, it's like a guidepost, you know, saying, here's how you got into this huge ditch, you know, to speak metaphorically. Mm-hmm. Here's the way out. Right. And so history is, when it's taught accurately, it is like telling a person or a people good information about how to get out. Without that, you could have hardworking people, you could have good-hearted people, and try as they might just be digging themselves deeper in the ditch, right? That accurate understanding of history tells them, this is the way up, this is the way out, right? Based on, this is how you got in there, and this is what you're in.
Mm-hmm. Let's delve in a little deeper into African thought. How do you define that?
Well, it's based on African history, and especially an African-centered understanding of African history. So from African people's own point of view, there's been a lot of scholarship, you know, that has extracted philosophy, you know, from that African culture and history. So it would be baseline things which could resonate with other indigenous people. So things like, again, a cosmos view of the world, an understanding that humanity is one with each other and one with the universe, and that the idea is we're all in a balance, right? And when something goes off balance, that's when the rituals that we think about sometimes when we think about African cultures come into play.
Hmm.
You know, why isn't my crop growing, right? Why can't I get pregnant? Why am I not getting anything at the hunt and so forth, right? So it's about, okay, there must be something off. And so I engage in ritual to try to bring things back in balance so that the world can work for me.
Oh.
Okay. So whether you call the interconnecting thread spirit or a vital force or energy, that's up to you, right? But the idea that something's connecting all of us as humans and all humanity to the universe is something, is a way to try to grasp what we mean by an African-centered way of
looking at things. And if I can apply it to what we're currently doing, I want to say that Brother Shango Ayo is co-teaching this course with me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I met Brother Shango when at the Meriwether Library, when he was giving his African consciousness workshops. He's a guy from the community, self-taught, and I'm at these workshops and I'm taking notes. Here I am, a professor, and I'm taking notes from him. Like, I have a lot to learn from this guy.
Wow.
You know, street scholar, we might say, street scholar. And so I think I already was wired that way, but it just reinforced that we all have useful knowledge, mm-hmm. right? And in this particular case, Brother Shango, so I applied for a grant with the Faculty Student Association at Buffalo State to bring him on to co-teach. So in other words, an interconnected universe. It's not that knowledge is on campus and not in the community, right? That is not an Africana studies or an African-centered way of understanding knowledge.
Right.
Right. So mm-hmm. I said, I don't care about what your degree is, or if you can bring value, then there's no line. Mm-hmm. Come on in. Right. So that's an example right there. Another example that we talked about, the students driving this conference into existence. Right. So Africana studies is not going to have the traditional or maybe the Eurocentric understanding of education, that I'm a professor, I am the seat of all knowledge, and you are empty receptacles, and I am pouring into you. You know,
that's how it is.
It's how it can be, right?
Yeah.
But in Africana studies, which takes its inspiration from, like I said, deep African thought, we don't do it that way, right? So I'm looking at students like, okay, what do you guys bring? Tell me what you can bring in terms of value. And you can see they brought a whole conference into existence. And the short and sweet of that whole conference is no hard separation between campus and community. So in all those ways, right, that we are practicing this this cosmos idea of we're all connected, you know.
Absolutely. So much gleaned from this conversation already. More to glean still when we come back to what's next after this short break on your NPR station, Buffalo, Toronto Public Media.
You're listening to What's Next, our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo, Toronto Public Media, NPR.
We are back with more What's Next, continuing our conversation of all things Black Buffalo Speaks, Black culture, Africana studies, Black thought. And I sort of want to build off of where we just left off. You, Dr. Watson, were sort of explaining to me about restoring the cosmos through deep African thought. And we're kind of, you know, comparing African culture and Black culture. And so now I want to ask you, Jay and Jadon, looking into the current generation, I feel like in recent years, there's become a more of a distinction between Black culture and African culture, and even sort of identity, who's allowed to identify as Black, who's allowed to identify as African-American. How do you feel there can be an embracing and an acknowledgement of Black culture without straying from our African roots and history?
Yeah, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. I think that there has been like a lot of discourse on social media, especially about the difference and like who's better, and a lot of discourse about like Black people not having any culture or history.
Definitely.
And I think that we need to acknowledge Black history and Black culture, but within that, we also need to acknowledge African history and African culture. And I think that we're just kind of, it's that unbalanced thing again, where Black people don't know about the history and culture within Africa, and then Africans may come over, they might stay in Africa, and they're like, okay, well, y'all didn't come from anywhere, y'all don't know anything. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to kind of connect with that thing where it's like, okay, African thought, what is it to have those conversations, those needed conversations between each other? Because I feel like we're going up against so many different systems of oppression, really the same ones. And I think that when we have those conversations together about what we're going through, I think that a lot of that disconnect will be eliminated because we're going through the same mm-hmm. things. I think that history isn't teaching us that, society isn't teaching us that, what the media is like forcing down us. Like we're just totally misunderstanding each other. And I think that it's because of a lack of connection and lack of conversation and a lack mm-hmm. of community. So I hope that the conference really brings that together as well.
Yes. I definitely feel like it is the lack of community within our generation, especially with culture, because it's like, oh, African-Americans don't have any culture. Why? Maybe ask yourself, why do we don't have any culture? One, we were stripped from our land and brought to a country to be slaves. It's like,
yeah.
What is our culture necessarily when you're in imprisonment? Like, we don't have any, we have culture, one. Yeah, I want to start off by saying that.
Definitely.
Because we have
yes.
culture. So it's not even like we're going to say we don't have culture. But just because necessarily your culture is more.
It's been there for years.
Been there for years.
Yes.
And it's like your ancestors were kept in Africa. My ancestors were born to America. Like, it's just like, I feel like at the end of the day, we're Black. Like, we got to remember that at the end of the day, like Jay said, we have more bigger fish to fry. Like, mm-hmm. there's so many things that are set up against us, but we're worried about who doesn't have more culture. Like,
right, at the end of the day, we're both African, Black. Who's not.
Yeah, because when they don't, nobody cares about your culture when they're looking at your skin color. Like,
exactly. Because yeah. when you come over here, it's like they're going to look at you and you're going to be Black. And yeah. it doesn't matter if you came from the islands, it doesn't matter if you came from the continent, mm-hmm. if you came from the UK. Like, at the end of the day, we're really all Black. And I think that we just really need to appreciate each other more.
And I feel like it's more like an American thing as well, because when you go and travel outside of the world, like, nobody cares about you being Black. Like, it's yeah. just like more of an American thing. So I feel like that's part of American culture as well. It's like the ignorance of Americans as well. So I just feel like as people, like Dr. Watson said, like as humanity, we have a lot to learn within ourselves yeah. and within our own groups, within our own cities, within our own family. Like, we have a lot to learn. Like, you can learn a lot from within. And I feel like just tapping into your culture from family, like, is just necessary. You don't gotta have culture just because you see somebody else, like, necessarily, like, broadcasting it. Like, you can find your culture within yourself as well.
That's a great point. And
can I add something?
Please. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, I agree with what both these young scholars have said. I think we not only do we have culture, but I think it's an African-based culture, and I think we just don't know it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that goes back to this point about history.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So there's this attack against Black history, but even before that attack, it wasn't like Black history was being taught in any kind of robust, comprehensive way. Right, I'm a university professor. I teach incoming first year students in my Introduction to Africana Studies course, and almost to a one, they're shocked by everything they learn in so whatever education they had until that point, and that's not in Florida or Texas. That's New York State.
No,
yeah,
right. They don't know. So I think not only do we have culture, but it is an African based culture, and because of our amnesia about history, we just don't remember it or know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The late historian and great ancestor John Henrik Clark said it this way, that we focus too much on where the ships took us to,
not where it's from,
and not as much on where they took us from.
Uh-huh.
Right? And I think that's intentional. So we're concerned about our zip code that we're at, or the island we're on, or in some strange way, even the African country that they containerized us in over the last 50 or 60 years, right? And when we focus on the destination where the ships took us to, then we're focusing on our differences,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think that's important. Well, I'm from Chicago, I'm from Buffalo, I'm from Rochester, I'm from Jamaica, I'm from this and that. We focus on our differences. And it's not that those things aren't real,
mm-hmm.
but balance seems mm-hmm. to be a theme, right? When we're 100% on that side of things, we lose sight of the commonality. Where did the ships take us from? Right. And when a light can be shed on that, I think what will be illuminated is that there are a lot of Africanisms in Black American culture.
Definitely. Yeah.
That's very true. You know, even things like language, religion, you know,
dance,
so many,
music.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You can look at, you know, the things that they do in Africa and see so many parallels of, oh, okay, I see where our modern dance and music originated from. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, you mentioned a very good point earlier, too, about how it's really, you know, an American thing, if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
It's such a big deal for us, not to go too far off subject, but the South African singer Tyla, everyone was in an uproar when she didn't identify as Black.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know,
she said she was colored, like.
Yeah, a lot of people said.
It's a whole different world over there, like.
Yeah. So, you know, and then even looking in, as you just said, Dr. Watson, the fact that even in somewhere like Buffalo, Black culture varies. What it means to be Black in Buffalo is different from what it means to be Black in Rochester, or what it means to be Black in Buffalo on the East Side is different than what it means to be Black in Buffalo in Amherst. So, you know, when you look at a conference like Black Buffalo Speaks, that's literally bringing everyone together, not just everyone from Black cultures, but from the city. Mm-hmm. And I know I think balance really is the theme of the day, but, you know, how does something like this help us to restore our sense of togetherness and that interconnectedness that ultimately does bring us together, the invisible thread, so to speak?
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah, honestly, I'm about to call it three C's: community, conversation, and what else I said? Community, conversation, connection. Mm. Yeah, I think that that's just what we need right now, and I hope that the conference really pulls that out of us.
Yeah, I think it is. I feel like it definitely is, especially like now what's going on in the world. Like, we need each other more than we ever do right now. Like, just, we got to stick together. So even if this conference brings people from Buffalo into our campus and people that probably are staying over the summer, they rekindle with each other. You go find out about different things that's happening in the city. Like, I feel like it's just going to bring a lot of community within each other, because like I said, me being up here 4 years, I really didn't know anything like about Buffalo or what was happening. So this is like really an eye opener for me, because even like meeting, like I said before, meeting a lot of these great people, it was so amazing, because now when I drive on the East Side and I'm driving past all of the great faces, I could say, oh, I met one of the artists that did that. Like, it's just so much culture, like, that's already within Buffalo. And like that just, like, it's just so crazy, because me being a outsider, not knowing this, just imagine how many other people within the city of Buffalo that's here that doesn't know about it. So it's it's just teaching the youth as well, and just letting people know about their community as well, and like Buffalo's dope, like, it's cool.
Yeah.
And maybe another theme of the conversation is history. You know, if we need to learn these lessons from history, and I think this conference shows, at least we have, we had Martin R. Delaney against Frederick Douglass. Right, they were supposed to be pitted against each other. Africana Studies is saying we're all on the same side.
Mm-hmm.
We love all the. There can be different approaches to things. We had Du Bois and Garvey at each other's throats in their lifetime. We're saying no, there's a better way. We'll take all of what you have. You know,
yeah.
King and Malcolm X, same thing. Right, so we take those lessons from history, as long as we know history, and we say, at least as Africana Studies at Buffalo State, I don't know if the organizations we invited have relationships with each other, right? But our point is, we love all of y'all, you know? It's not that we're a member of this organization or that organization, but hey, if you are helping clean up a neighborhood, let us know. We can do that. If you need an infusion of youth at a particular event you're holding, you know, some of us might be interested in doing that, and so on and so forth. So that's one of the things we hope that Africana Studies is leaving. Right, for us to really consider, which is, can we work together, or does one of these organizations have the right answer and nobody else?
Mm-hmm.
Right, we don't believe that. Right,
nope.
We each have a different angle. We support those angles. Let's work together and see what we can do.
Because we all have one common goal, and that's to make Buffalo better.
Yeah.
So if we all have the same goal, like, let's work together, let's get it done, and let's move us forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, that's a great point because I've spoken with a few folks from different local organizations and I've been surprised to hear it, how much almost bickering there is between organizations, people you would think would have the same common goal. Mm-hmm. And, you know,
it's
you're
just
wondering.
Like an entitlement.
Yeah. So when you look at that and, you know, you ask, can we work together? Then it becomes like quite a literal question. Can we work together? Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of times we've seen some of the greatest downfalls in the Black community, in America in general, because of our sort of inner division. How can we, I think that's a very loaded question to ask, how can we overcome that? But I guess to start, you know, what do you think is some of the, where do we begin to repair it, I guess?
I would like to say, like, something Dr. Watson mentioned one time in class that really stood out to me. Like, when you're learning in school about, like, the civil rights movement and everything, they always, like, focus on one specific group. But Dr. Watson pointed out one time in class, and it always stuck with me. He was like, what about the group that wanted to stick together and keep their Blackness and didn't want to be accepted into society? So I always think about that, like, what about the people that all have the same idea but necessarily don't want to go within, follow the crowd and push for something that they necessarily don't want? Because at the end of the day, yeah, we fought for equality, but what was the cost of that as well? Because we were accepted into these rooms and everything, but then we faced a lot of backlash or a lot of discriminatory, like a lot of just a bunch of different like hardships we face in these communities once we're accepted. But what about the people that were like, no, why don't we stick together? Why don't we build our own schools? Why are we so eager to be into these white schools when we could build our own? I just feel like it's within the community. Like, we have to come together as one and just put our thoughts and our minds together, because if necessarily, like, the norm isn't always right, like, it's always something different that can be successful any type of way. So I feel like once you put different mindsets and different thoughts together, it builds a stronger force. And especially, like, in a community like Buffalo, where it's a lot of redlining and everything else that affects the community that a lot of people don't necessarily know about, it's like when you put these thoughts together, you could build like a powerful like nation, I feel like.
Yeah.
And if I could add a little something, again, we in Africana studies, we want, as to the extent possible, to reference African based mm-hmm. Ideas and concepts. So I spent 5 years of my life in South Africa, among Tsonga speakers. And one thing they say is that it's important, kulehisambilu. Kulehisambilu, it means to lengthen the heart. And when you talk to people about it, what they mean is we can each expand our hearts to take in more. Mm-hmm. You know, things that were previously, it didn't feel right to us. We gotta open past that. So it's not about some of us, let's say African descended people, mm-hmm. want to go the way of integration and being a part of, and others are more of a self-help to both. You know, mm-hmm. we have to lengthen our heart. We're all in a situation that is challenging, to say the least. Mm-hmm. And so if some of us want to say, I think this is the best way, let's see how that might bring us some value. You know, if you get in and you can help democratize a space, right, that makes it more comfortable for all of us, let's see how that works. If you think that a self-help kind of program is the way, give it a try. Like, mm-hmm. what Africana Studies is here for it, you know, to support it all, to lengthen the heart. So I think that is a way for it. When we start getting messages of division and no, I can't do that, we know that's the enemy in a way, in a manner of speaking, mm-hmm. right? We know that's the thing that comes to divide, and we should ignore that and say, no, we're not going for the division this time. It's all okay, right? In some manner of speaking, we're all victimized in some kind of way and doing the best we can under tremendously difficult circumstances. And so let's give each other a hand, almost no matter what you know, approach or method we're doing. Maybe not every single one, but.
Right. Yeah, I get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. I think that's a great place for us to take a pause. We will have more What's Next to come after this brief message.
You're listening to What's Next. our place to discuss the important issues of our communities of Western New York and Southern Ontario. We want to hear from you. Click on the Talk to Us option in the BTPM Listen app, and we will work to get your questions or comments on the air. Do you have a story or concern that we should be addressing? Email us using whatsnext@btpm.org. Together, we'll have the conversations that are needed. This is Buffalo Toronto Public Media, NPR.
Thanks for joining us once again on What's Next. So I've been meaning to ask you, Jay and Jadon, you both have mentioned before that you are not from Buffalo. Where are you both from originally?
I'm from the Bronx, New York City.
Yes, I'm from the Bronx as well. BX in the house.
Okay, yes, birthplace of hip hop.
Yep, see, we got culture. Right?
That's right. So you've been taking this Blacks in Buffalo course and you've learned so much about Buffalo and, you know, being under the tutelage of Dr. Watson. What are some of the things that you both have learned about Black Buffalo that maybe you've been surprised to learn or have been the most interesting to you?
I want to say, like, the culture of Buffalo, like, that's really what I want to focus on. It's like so much, like, embedded that we don't learn about in school, like, growing up, because, like, history could be altered, like I said in the beginning. So, from Dr. Watson being from Buffalo, Brother Shango being from Buffalo, it's like more of an insight of people that are from Buffalo that face these hardships, that know like all these like backhanded ways that society can be treated. Because I feel like, not to sound like controversial right now, but like being Black in the city is way different than being Black, I feel like, in Buffalo, mm-hmm. because I never personally dealt with anything, any type of racism, like from a white person until I got to Buffalo. So it was like a real eye opener. And it's just like, it just showed me a lot, like from the city of Buffalo, like, cause I was scared at first to be outside of Buffalo because I never dealt with racism like that. So it was like, it kept me inside like a box here. But then after like this semester, meeting a lot of new people, a lot of other Black people, it definitely tapped me in because I'm like, wow, this east side of Buffalo is so much culture. Seeing all the art that's there, all these different people that are from Buffalo that are fighting for the same cause that I want to fight for as well, being a Black individual in America. Like, it's so much against us, like as people, that if we come together and just listen to people and go out there into the community and stop being so scared, it's like we can like dominate the world.
Yeah,
like,
we can do wonders.
Absolutely.
Yeah. For me, beyond the Blacks in Buffalo course, I've learned that there are really so many different organizations in Buffalo. And through that, I have created a student-led organization or coalition called Kinfolk. And our primary focus is on the east side of Buffalo. And we just want to bring different organizations together. So basically what this conference is doing, but more push behind it and giving people the necessary resources and tools they need to come together and making sure that we're knocking on our community's doors, making sure that they know about the resources and organizations that are here to help them. So that's a little bit of like what we've been learning and what we've been doing outside of class. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Amazing. And learning that about the city and then learning how to create the solutions to the problems that you've identified living exactly. here for a short period of time. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And Dr. Watson, I suspect you see a lot of this, but you may even see it from some of the students who are native to this city. Are you always surprised to see maybe how much of your students don't know about Black Buffalo? Or do you find that they do come in with this knowledge and maybe it's just reiterated or enhanced along the way?
I'm definitely not surprised about the lack of knowledge about anything Black in the U.S., right? I mean, there are some states that are just outright explicitly banning it. This is before this political administration. But I've been a professor of Africana studies prior to that. And I, as I said before, I've had students rolling in all these years from New York. So we might have a different way of not providing a comprehensive education about Black folks, but somehow we get that done because the students come in and know very little. So I'm not surprised about that. But I think a pleasant surprise was how Brother Shango and I structured this course mm-hmm.
And big shout out to Brother Shango for getting a lot of these community leaders mm-hmm. to come to the class.
Definitely.
Okay. Because I got to witness just what I saw as a transformative kind of effect on the students.
Yeah,
I would just sit there and listen, and I'm amazed by the speakers, of which you will be one Wednesday, if I may say. But just to bring, you know, representatives of Black Buffalo to life mm-hmm. in campus, real people, real personalities, real stories. Mm-hmm. And for me hearing them, I mean, I knew some of the folks, but not all, and just being blown away by that and looking at the students. Like, I didn't have to be there. Mm-hmm. The students were captivated that much that they were asking the questions, follow-up questions. They were developing a relationship with these guests on their own, you know, in spite of me or mm-hmm. Brother Shango being there. And so I was pleasantly surprised that this form of pedagogy, this idea that's Africana inspired, that we need a closer relationship between faculty and students, number one, but mm-hmm. students and community, that it worked. It seemed to be working. Mm-hmm. You know, it brought so much life and experiential learning, you know, to bear. And so I was very happy about that.
Definitely. And that's what it means to sort of break down the almost Eurocentric structure of higher education that we're used to.
Exactly.
Yep.
It's really putting it in practice there. Mm-hmm. So, as we've mentioned, the different community organizations that we have out here that are really doing the work on Buffalo's East Side, and a lot have been for years. While there may be a lot of different areas that are being addressed, there are still a lot of residents who will tell you there are so many needs, especially within Buffalo's Black community, mm-hmm. that are not being met. Do you all identify some areas where maybe there should be more resources, more attention, more activism dedicated to?
In terms of the organizations, or just like issues that we should be focusing on in Buffalo?
Issues in general, mm-hmm. or both, you know, maybe if you would wish some organizations would champion these issues, or maybe if this is something that we, the people, should be out doing for ourselves.
Yeah, I think that one thing that comes to mind is like our transportation needs. I work in two different schools, and when talking to the parents, they're always telling me that their biggest need is transportation. So figuring out how we could bring more sustainable, affordable, accessible transportation within the community. Just kind of like the environment, I think that we should really focus on. But I do think that there's organizations and people who do advocate for things like that. I just think that we do need to come together and making sure that we're showing up for each other's events, making sure that we're showing up for each other in general and the resources that we need. And I think that I hope that the conference really helps bridge that together.
And I think a part of it for me, too, is we invited these five organizations. And I should say, at the beginning of the semester, the students broke up into groups, and each group was responsible for a piece of putting this conference together. One of those subgroups was the presenters group. They started from a much longer list of possible presenters and narrowed it down to what turned out to be five, plus mm-hmm. a keynote mm-hmm. Speaker. And so what we're hoping is that this conference happens again, and we can invite some of the leaders of these other organizations to come and play a pivotal role. So we have five leaders of these organizations, plus a lot of tabling from other organizations. And I think one thing we learned is that a lot of the work is being done, right? So it's not necessarily for us to add anything to the list. It's first of all for us to understand what is happening, who's out there, right? That's sort of the point. So if it's working on self-help programs, if it's working on issues of mass incarceration as they affect Buffalo, and so on and so forth. So we have the Michigan Street African American Heritage Corridor, you know, whatever piece out there that's being worked on, it's to see how we can plug in as a university, faculty, departments, students, and support the missions of what's already happening, right? So that whatever the organizations are trying to do, they can do it better, hopefully with our help and backing.
All right. Well, I guess that tells us, you know, what comes next. No pun intended. But thank you all so much for, you know, bringing to light not only what this conference is about, but just what it means to amplify the voices of Black Buffalo through Africana studies and through, you know, you all, the next generation. Thank you so much, Dr. Watson, Jay, and Jadon. And this about wraps it up for today's episode of What's Next. I'm Ijaz Jasil. Thank you for listening.
Support for WBFO and What's Next comes from our members and from Health Foundation for Western and Central New York, where racial and socioeconomic health equity are prioritized. Learn more about building healthier neighborhoods at hfwcny.org.